Third, quote, love inspires, illumines, designates, and leads the way. Close quote. Isn't this a wonderful thought? So often you will hear an individual say, but how am I to know what God's plan for me is? Or, how am I to know what footsteps to take? Or, God may know, but I certainly don't. This wonderful statement guarantees that man cannot help but know the right steps to take and the right decisions to make. It is not a case of God knowing all the answers and man being in the dark. God is forever pouring his thoughts and judgments into our waiting consciousness, thus inspiring us with the right ideas. It is the great light of truth which illumines our pathway so completely that we cannot help but see the right turn to take or the right decision to make. Moreover, divine mind literally points out to us which is the best of all his infinite opportunities. And what's more, your heavenly Father takes you by the hand and leads the way. Thus, anyone rejoicing that love inspires, illumines, designates, and leads the way just can't escape doing the thing that is right for him to do. So how do we know what is God's will and what is not? That is the beauty of love's inspiration, illumination, and designation. When God's purpose is revealed, the way is so clear, so certain, that not only are we sure of it, but we are led, impelled, compelled to take it. It is at this point in our demonstration where we must refuse to become discouraged if we see no signs or have had no healings. Even though we haven't had any indication that things are happening, yet we know that they are. Don't forget that our God is a divinely active God, ever expressing himself. Therefore, now and always, wonderful things are happening. And regardless of whether we see any evidence of it or not, let us continue in our rejoicing that right now, God's plan is in operation. Right now, wonderful things are taking place. Why, right now, God can be opening the way for that individual in California to come to your home and offer to buy property you want to sell. Why, right at this instant, God may be working things out in New York City, whereby an organization will find it possible to ask you to fill a position that is far beyond anything you have ever dreamed of. Discouragement closes the door on illumination, inspiration, and designation. But courage and confidence that wonderful things are happening leave all the doors wide open for wonderful things to happen and for us to be aware of God's guidance. A young man had worked several weeks along these lines in order to find just the right job. Nothing had developed that was in keeping with his talents and abilities. But you know, he was so sure, so certain, so positive God's plan was in operation and that wonderful things were happening, that he was not the least bit unhappy or disturbed or worried or fearful. One day, he was impelled to go to a nearby town and apply for a position with an organization that he hadn't even thought of before. Well, they had a position for him, and it was far more wonderful than anything he had dreamed of. After they had guaranteed him the position, they said to him, "How did you happen to come today? If you had come yesterday, the position wouldn't have been open yet. If you had come tomorrow, we would have already filled it with one of our employees. How did you happen to come today?" The young man's reply was, "Only God knows. All I know was that I was impelled to come." However, this young man told me later that he realized that it was because he had stood steadfast in his joy and his certainty that wonderful things were happening, that he was able to hear the voice of God, able to hear the directive impulse. He said that if he had become worried or discouraged or unhappy, he wouldn't have been in tune with the infinite, and he'd probably be still looking for a job. Fourth, divine principle puts God's plan for man into operation, and there is no other power or presence to interfere with it one iota. This is the last point, but it is a tremendously important one. It is because of the operation of principle, which is the law, the way, the order of things, that there is absolutely no possibility of there being any other law to interfere with the operation of God's plan. Referring to this omnipotent power of divine principle, Mrs. Eddy says in Miscellaneous Writings, quote, "Let us open our affections to the principle that moves all in harmony, from the falling of a sparrow to the rolling of a world." Close quote. There can be no circumstance so great that principle cannot encompass it. There can be no need so insignificant that principle cannot provide for it. Let us follow Mrs. Eddy's admonition to open our affections to principle. Let us love, worship, and adore that supreme power which holds the universe in place. Let us revere the law which annihilates the possibility of there being a law to the contrary. There can be no medical law to interfere with God's plan for you, no law of lack or excess, no law of false theology. Even a lack of education cannot interfere with God's plan for man, because the infinite power of divine principle is putting God's plan into operation. Before the presence of divine principle, all intolerance, bigotry, misunderstanding, misconception, and even human opinions become as nothing, as a thing of naught. Remember that it is divine principle that does all the placing, all the arranging, all the planning, all the relating and associating, all the organizing, all the balancing, all the motivating. No wonder there is nothing to interfere with God's plan. One day I had been working particularly with the second point. Refusing to outline, I had just finished praying, "Heavenly Father, I don't care whether I dig gold in Alaska, lasso cattle in Argentina, scrub floors in a benevolent association, or take in washing in Timbuktu. All I ask is that your plan for me be in operation. A friend of mine dropped in. She was worried and fearful. She had all the symptoms of cancer. And though she had done a lot of praying in Christian Science, the condition had grown steadily worse. I asked her what she was rebellious about, unhappy about, disturbed about. She admitted she was all three of these things, because her husband sat beside the TV and did nothing. Upon questioning her, I learned that, for many years, her husband had handled a business successfully for her and her family. Finally, he had sold it for them at a profit. Now he wanted to do what he wanted to do. He wanted to move to California and build a motel and operate it. But this lady did not want to have anything to do with a motel, and she certainly didn't want to move to California. It was a wonderful opportunity to help her see that any wife ought to encourage her husband in his business ventures, but especially a Christian Science wife. For all the time she could be knowing it was not what her husband thought was right, or what she thought was right, that would come to pass, but what God knew was right. She could be rejoicing that God's plan for them was in operation, and therefore wonderful things were happening. I told her the way I had been praying, and suggested that we put it in her terms, that she didn't care whether she dug gold in Alaska, or lassoed cattle in Argentina, or was a housewife in Indiana, or operated a motel in California. All she wanted was that God's plan be in operation. She learned that a business she thought would be boring was interesting. One she thought she'd be ashamed of, she was really proud of. She came to appreciate California as a place to live far more than Indiana. One reason she hadn't wanted to move away from Indiana was that her son was going into the Navy. She felt that she ought to maintain his home for him there, so that whenever he would have a leave, he could come home. Well, he did join the Navy. He was stationed in California and was able to come home almost every weekend. And so, from every point of view, even some I haven't time to mention, it was a complete demonstration. Oh, yes, I must mention that the relationship between husband and wife was far more wonderful than it had ever been. Naturally, with all the bitterness, the rebellion, and unhappiness gone, she was completely healed of cancer. When she wrote to me, telling me of her final healing, she expressed gratitude for my sharing this way of praying with her. And in the letter, she enclosed the picture of a rock. The rock was the marker of a very early settlement in California, just 3 miles from their motel. And the name on the rock was Timbuktu. She said, "You see, I have come to Timbuktu after all." Even though you are completely satisfied with your present situation, even though you might feel that there is nothing left to be desired, I sincerely hope that you will never let a day go by but what you rejoice in the great truth that God's plan for you is in operation, and that there is no other power or presence that can interfere with it. That's the way we can, with such absolute certainty, know that wonderful things are taking place now and ever will continue to take place.